Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, I thank you for this group of students here. And we just thank you for their faithfulness to you. And we pray that as the school year draws to a close, that their relationship with you would be stronger than ever. This summer would be a summer of victory. I know how hard it is so many times to go back home or to go different away from the fellowship that's at school. And it is difficult, but by your grace they can have victory. All of us can. And we praise you for that. And we ask now that our minds and hearts be open to you, your word, and that you be our teacher this evening. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Larry wanted me to speak on generosity. And it was real appropriate because our church took up a little offering for him the Sunday or something. Yeah, last Sunday. They were very generous in their giving to him. So I was able to bring him that check and to have a little generosity, in action there. And so I really praise God for that. And I really do like to talk about generosity because I believe this is one of the premier character qualities of God. And to be a godly person, a big part of it is to be a generous person. I was trying to think of a definition of generosity. I thought, well, it's willing to give whatever belongs to you. I looked it up in the dictionary. It says being liberal. That didn't tell me a whole lot. I'm not a liberal. And I thought, well, willing to give whatever belongs to you. Then I thought about that. Well, if we're under the lordship of Jesus, do we really own anything? We don't have anything that belongs to us, really. And so then I thought, well, it's willing to give whatever God tells you to. And then I thought of Leroy Ines. If you ever heard any of his tapes, he hates the word willing. I'm willing to do this or I'm open. And so I changed it to be an eagerness to pass on to others what God has entrusted to us or to you. Eagerness to pass on to others what God has entrusted to you. And you can see that this character quality is evident with God. We sang John 3:16 a while ago. God so loved the world that He gave His Son. James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father. So on. And again and again you can see in the Bible that God is generous, very generous. With whatever He has, He's willing to give to us. God always commends and blesses those who are generous. But to the stingy and greedy, He condemns. And there's terrible consequences to those people. You remember the story in Luke 21, first four verses about the widow that Jesus was just apparently sitting with His disciples. They were sitting in the temple. There was apparently a box there where people came along and they dropped their offering in. And it says that a lot of wealthy people came along and they gave large gifts. And then this widow came along and she gave a mite or, a part of a penny. We don't even have it in our currency. But it didn't even equal the value of a penny. And He said to His disciples, He said, I tell you that she's given more than all of them because they gave out of their abundance, but she gave all she had. So He commended her generosity. And, you can learn some things from that about generosity that it's really not, being a generous person doesn't have that much to do with how much you give, but how much you give with how much compared to how much you have left. And in Acts 4:32 through 35, we see this quality in the lives of the early disciples. Acts 4:32-35. It said, all the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was with them all. There was no needy persons among them, for from time to time those who owned lands or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone as he had need. Now, there was just a group of people, and they were exhibiting this character quality. They were just being generous with whatever they had. All their possessions, their houses, their lands, they were willing to sell, give to one another, to whoever had a need. And so we can see that this quality in the life of the early Christians, from the very beginning, when the Lord established His church, that was a part of the foundation, this generous attitude of the brothers and sisters in Christ there. Now, you know, we can see examples also of the stingy and the greedy, the other side of the coin, and what happens to them. In 2 Kings 5, the whole chapter, there's three characters basically in that chapter, three main stars. And one of them is Naaman, another one is Elisha. And Gehazi. Naaman, are you familiar with the story about Naaman, who was a commander, captain of the Syrian army? And he was a brave man, a commander, a leader, a strong man. But there was one thing wrong with him. He had leprosy. And in those days, that was a dread disease. You know, if you had leprosy, there was no cure for it. And you had to stay off, remain off by yourself, live separately from the people. And yet he was still the commander, apparently, of the army. And he heard that there was a man in Israel that was a godly man and that could cure him. So he came to Elisha's house. Elisha didn't even come out. He sent his servant, Gehazi, I don't know how you pronounce that. And he said, go out. Tell Naaman to go out and dip himself 7 times in the River Jordan, and he'll be clean. And so Naaman got all upset. He said, man, we have so many more rivers back in Syria that is so much more clean, and I'm not going to do that stupid thing. But his servants persuaded him. He said, listen, if he had come out and waved his hand over the leprosy and, you know, said some magic words, wouldn't you have done what he said? You know, why don't you just try it? Can't hurt anything. So he thought about it, so he went to the Jordan River. He dipped 7 times, and lo and behold, when he came up the 7th time, he was clean. He was cured. No more leprosy. And you can imagine how joyful he was, and he went back to Elisha's house, and he said, listen, man, let's just read what he says to Elisha, 2 Kings 5. He starts offering all sorts of things. 15. Then Naaman and all his attendants went back to the man of God. He stood before them and said, now I know that there is no God in all the world except in Israel. Please accept now a gift from your servant. The prophet answered, as surely as the Lord lives whom I serve, I will not accept a thing. And even though Naaman urged him, he refused. And so he went off. Down in verse 19, he got saved. Old Naaman got saved, became a worshiper of Jehovah God. And in 19, Elisha says, go in peace. After Naaman had traveled some distance, Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said to himself, my master was too easy on Naaman, this Aram, whatever that is, by not accepting from him what he brought. As surely as the Lord lives, I will run after him and get something from him. So Gehazi hurried after Naaman. When Naaman saw him running toward him, he got down from his chariot to ask to meet him. Is everything all right? He said. Everything is all right, Gehazi answered. My master sent me to say, two young men from the company of the prophets have just come to me from the hill country of Ephraim. Please give them a talent of silver and two sets of clothing. By all means, take two talents, said Naaman. He urged Gehazi to accept them, and he tied up the two talents of silver in two bags with two sets of clothing. And he gave them to two of his servants, and they carried them ahead of Gehazi. Now, a talent of silver, according to my Bible, is about 75 pounds. So he got 150 pounds of silver. Not bad. And so he took them and he put the things in his house. And the story ends up that Elisha, of course, God revealed to Elisha what was taking place there. And Gehazi went out from Elisha's presence, and he was leprous as white as snow. He got the leprosy that Naaman had. Here was Elisha, a man that was generous. Man, he just wanted to give what God had entrusted to him, this ability to help people. And God allowed this power to go from Elisha to cure him. But Gehazi hadn't learned that lesson of being generous. And he just wanted a little, you know, there was all that stuff there he could have had. You know, think of how he could have helped the other prophets. So he took it, and God got him for it. So watch out for being stingy. Amos 6, 4 through 7. Says, you lie on beds and lay... This is like... I think of America when I read this. You lie on beds and laid with ivory and lounge on your couches. You dine on choice lambs and fattened calves. You strum away on your harps like David and improvise on musical instruments. You drink wine by the bowful and use the finest lotions. But you do not grieve over the ruin of Joseph. Therefore you'll be among the first to go into exile. Your feasting and lounging will end. There was the nation Israel. They were not being generous with anything God had given them. They were just hoarding it, using it on themselves in luxurious living. God said, you know, you're not grieving over the sin that's there. You're not, you know, you're doing nothing but using all this stuff that I've given you on yourself. He says, therefore, your feasting and lounging is going to end. So, you can mark it down that God, if you're willing to be generous, God's going to bless you. But if you're stingy and greedy, then He's going to condemn you, and there's going to be consequences that you will not like. God never gives us anything just for us to use ourselves. I think anything that He gives us, He means for us to pass it on to others, for the benefit of others. You think about spiritual gifts. Did He give spiritual gifts just to help you? No, spiritual gifts for someone else. The fruit of the Spirit. Who's the fruit for? The tree or people that come up and take the fruit from the tree? Enjoy it. Things that He gives us, He means not just solely for our own use, but to pass on and benefit others. Now, in being generous, one of the best verses on that is 2 Corinthians 9:6. In fact, 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 talk about generosity and giving money. And 2 Corinthians 9:6 says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Peter Lord has come up with a law of the harvest. I don't guess he came up with it. It's just a law that's around. But I heard him share this one time. He says, the law of the harvest, or the law of sowing is this. You reap what you sow. You know, you're not going to, if you sow, go out here and sow corn, you're not going to reap beans. You always reap what you sow. Second thing is you reap later than you sow. You know, you sow in the spring, you reap in the fall. And you always reap more than you sow. you sow one kernel of corn, and then how many kernels do you get on a stalk? 300, 500 on 1 year of corn? And so you reap what you sow, or you reap more later than you sow, and you reap more than you sow. Now that works with agriculture. It also works with being generous. And when you give generously, no matter what you give, these things come into play. You're going to reap what you sow. You give money, I think that God will give you money. You give possessions, God will give you possessions. You give love, you'll get love. And you'll get more. You'll get back more. Now, I was trying to think. Larry said, I don't want you to just talk just about giving, being generous with money. You know, there's other things you can be generous with, and that's right. And I thought, well, how can you remember different areas to be generous in? And I came up, when I was thinking about the law of the harvest or law of sowing, I thought of planting. And I came up with a little acrostic. And I don't know if it makes much sense, but we'll try it. It's plant. Very logical, with go along with sowing. But you, these are areas that we ought to be generous with. And the P is possessions. However you spell it. Is that right?
Two words.
Okay. Possessions. Anybody know Luke 14:33? What is it?
So therefore no one of you can be my disciples, but he who gives up all that he has.
That's close.
Close enough.
Gives up all that he has, all his possessions. And we need to be generous with our possessions. Hebrews 10:34 says, they went to the people who were in prison, and it says, and you joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property, because you yourselves knew that you had better and lasting possessions. And if we know that all that we have belongs to God, we can be generous with our possessions. You know, those early Christians there in Hebrews, apparently they were suffering for Jesus, and people came in and just ripped off everything they had in the house. And they said they were joyful over it because they knew that they had greater and lasting possessions. So be generous with your possessions. Don't hoard that. The Bible says your life does not consist in the abundance of things and what you have, you own. But, you know, in America we have this mentality, just get all you can and can all you get, you know, and poison the rest. So, possessions. L is life. We need to be generous with just our life. 1 John 3:16, hereby we know the love of God because He laid down His life for us. And we ought to lay down our life for the brethren. Our life, giving your life to someone else. 1 Thessalonians 2:8, Paul said, I was not content just to share with you the gospel of God, but my very life, because you had become dear to us. And he was willing to give his life for other people. So be willing to share your life. Be generous with it. It's not your own. You know, in fact, it says there in 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, you're not your own. You're bought with a price. So you're not even in possession of your own life. It's not belong to you anymore. So pass on what God's entrusted to you. Okay, A is your abilities. Your abilities. Whatever ability God has entrusted to you, pass it on. You know, spiritual gifts would fall under this. Several of you I know are music majors. That would be an ability that you ought to be generous with and sharing with other people, enriching their lives. Any ability that you have, don't just hoard it for yourself to build up your own life, but give it away. You know, Elisha had an ability to help people this guy be cured of leprosy. What if he could have made a lot of money from that? You know, not only just from Naaman, he could have gone around and cured lots of people in powerful positions, and he could have been, you know, set up for life from then on. And but he didn't. He was willing just to be generous with his abilities. Okay? And I had to fudge here a little bit. That's not Nichols is what I was thinking of. I keep thinking of Lena. N-I-C-K. L-E. Okay. I flunked spelling in college, but Nichols, you know, our money. Nichols and noses. No. We need to be generous with our money, and we'll get into that in more detail in a minute. But God, you may not think you're rich, but in the eyes of the world, you are rich. And there are several things that I want to talk about in being generous with your money. The last one is time. And be generous with our time. Jesus, as you see Him in the Gospels, was very generous with His time. In fact, at different times it says in there, He didn't even have enough time to eat because He was just giving Himself. His time belonged to whoever had a need. And He was curing them. He was sharing with them, teaching them, preaching at them, and just giving His time to other people. And a lot of times, you know, we think, oh, you know, my time belongs to me, and I need to, you know, watch out desperately to hang on to the time that I have. But what if someone comes to you with a need? And, you know, you say, no, you know, it's my quiet time. This is my quiet time. I can't talk with you. You know, be generous with your time. Give it to others. So these are some of the areas that we can be generous in. We ought to be if we're going to be a godly people. Okay, I want to spend the rest of the time talking about being generous in the area of your money, your finances. If you want to be generous in this area, I guess this would apply to any of these other things too. Who do you give to? Who should you give to according to the Bible? Well, first thing is we ought to give to God's work. You know, His church, missions, evangelism, the ministry, etc. Give to God's work. Secondly, we ought to give to the poor. I think this is an area that we as Christians have left out for so many years. We've just kind of closed our eyes to the poor around us and thought, well, the government's taking care of them. They can be on welfare, whatever. You know, they've got plenty of help. We don't need to help them. But again and again in Scripture, we see that God telling us, His people, to give to the poor. Let's look at a few verses in Proverbs on that. Proverbs 19:17. Says, he who is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and He will reward him for what he has done. It's Proverbs 19:17. Over a couple of chapters, to chapter 21:13, says, if a man shuts his ears to the cry of the poor, he too will cry out and not be answered. And over a few more chapters, 28:27. It says, he who gives to the poor will lack nothing, but he who closes his eyes to them receives many curses. So we can see that if we are willing to share with the poor, that God will bless us. But if we don't, then we'll receive many curses. You know, we have. How do you give to the poor? You just go out and run up and down the street and find some poor person and start giving to them. You know. How do you find them? Well, there are different ways, you know. This year we had this deal, manna, that we could give to. You remember that? Where we could give certain, we chose to give so many boxes of food supplement down to Brazil and send some hogs over to the Ivory Coast. That's one way. There are different programs. Wendy and I, my wife and I, give to World Vision. And they have a program where you can kind of adopt a child. and an orphan or somebody that's very poor, their family can't really support them, and just for like, I think it's $18 a month, you can really help them, give them education, help them get an education, the food that they need, nutrition and all that. So there are different ways that Christian organizations have set up that you can give a channel to the poor and then be willing to share. When you see a need, give to someone who really is poor. You know, and they're all around us. And you may be moved. You may be around this summer around some poor people. And be willing to share with them. Be generous with them. You may, after you get out of school and graduate, your job may be, you know, there may be a whole section of town where the people are just living in poverty. Don't close your eyes to them. Don't shut them off. You know, that your church where you are ought to have a ministry to them and helping them. The poor, another area we ought to give our money is spiritual leaders. Galatians 6:6, it says that he who has taught the word share all good things with him who teaches. Spiritual leaders. Another area is the fourth area is fellow believers in need, brothers and sisters in need. Romans 12:13 says, share with God's people who are in need, practice hospitality. Very simple. Fellow believers, so give to God's work, give to the poor, give to spiritual leaders and fellow brothers and sisters in need. And okay, how much should you give? If you've got some money to give, how much should you give? Well, we hear a lot about the tithe, and it is biblical to tithe. I believe that. And but the question is what is a tithe? Now, how many here, how much is a tithe? Somebody tell me. That's right. You know, usually in the average church, you go and say, somebody gets up and says, I'm a tither, you know. Well, that means he gets 10%. And, you know, maybe 10% of his net, I don't know what. But if you look in this scripture in the Old Testament, it really was. They had more than one tithe, and that's why it added up to 22 1/3%, approximately. 22 1/3%. I've got the verses where it gives those different tithes if you want them. If you don't, I don't care. Are you trust me? No. You don't trust me. Okay. Okay. They were supposed to give 10% of the produce, and that's Leviticus 27:30-32. I got this out of Smith's Bible Dictionary. They were to give 9% a year for the Levites. Deuteronomy 12:17-19 and 22-29. Okay, the first one, the 10% was Leviticus 27:30-32. The 9% was Deuteronomy 12:17-19. 9% for the Levites. And then 3 1/3% are actually every third year, 10%, or if it averaged out 3 1/3% a year, to the poor, the widows, people like that. That they had the sabbatical year. And what was a sabbatical year? Yeah, they'd let all their slaves go free if they had any Jewish slaves, and then they couldn't plant anything that year. They just let the land lie fallow. And then there was a year of Jubilee. What was that?
It was the
50th year.
Since, I think God had
every 50 years. It was every 50 years, Okay. And it was at every 50 years, they were, all the land was to go back to the original owners. So if you become a land baron, you know, at the 50th year, you lost it all except for whatever was originally with your family. And that, you know, that ensured that the people would be generous. And it's interesting to note that they never had a year of Jubilee. Never had. So I don't think they had a sabbatical year either. And when they were taken to exile, it says God said that that the land will see its sabbatical year. You know, it will be, it will have its jubilee. So God forced it on them later. So God wanted to try to ensure that His people were generous people with their money. And He had all these things. Now, we're not bound to those regulations. But, you know, we ought to look at that. It is, the New Testament says that those things were given for as examples for us. And it may be a goal that you want to shoot toward in your own life. You know, so many times I see the offering plate passed on Sunday morning, you know, people throwing a dollar. You know, they've done their good deed for the week. You know, don't be like that. Now, in the New Testament, we're encouraged to give four ways, at least. One is generously. And we've already seen that, 2 Corinthians 9:6. And remember, generosity is not how much you give, but how much you give compared to what you have left. And we're instructed to give as God reveals to you. Give as God reveals to you. Now that's that is revelation giving. 2 Corinthians 9:7. Says each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Each man is to give what he has decided in his heart to give. And who puts that desire in a person's heart? It comes from God. It ought to. And I think that God can reveal to you what you ought to give for a specific thing. Wendy and I, many times, we'll sit down and there'll be something we want to give to, and we'll write down on a piece of paper. She'll write down one piece of paper, and I'll write down another, and what we think we ought to give, pass it to each other and pick it up. And so many times it's the exact same amount. And one day, Tom has this habit, our pastor, of just taking up these special offerings in church. And one day he took up this offering. I can't remember what it was for. And I was a guy that came up from Houston from Ralph Neighbor's church. And so I knew that they had a tremendous ministry there. And Wendy was in the choir and I was and I couldn't talk to her, you know. So I was just thinking, I looked up at her, you know, and she was looking at me. I couldn't, and so I gave a certain amount. And when we got home, I said, you know, that's what I gave. And she said, that's just what I was thinking. So, you know, God can reveal to you what to give. And sometimes it's a lot more than what you think you can afford. And sometimes it's, you know, it doesn't seem that much to you. But give as He reveals to you. Ask Him. Okay, the third way to give is give by faith. Give by faith. The widow's mite there, we saw that. She was giving by faith. She gave all she had. 2 Corinthians 8, 2 through 5 says, out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own, and they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing this service to the saints. And so these people that Paul is talking about here, a group of churches, they gave by faith. They gave not of their own resources, but they gave out of God's resources. And your resources may be very limited, but God's resources are not limited at all. They're infinite. Give from His resources, not your own. Now, I did a little research on this from the Southern Baptist Convention. And the latest records I could find was 1977. And in that year, Southern Baptists gave roughly $1 billion to God's kingdom through different ways, through church and everything. $1 billion, that's a lot of money. But when you divide how much that is per person for the year, it figures out to be roughly $75 per person for the year. That's $1.44 per week. And, I'm sure there's, you know, a lot of that includes the 9-year-olds and 8-year-olds that are Southern Baptists. But I have a feeling that most people in the Southern Baptist Convention made more than $750 in 1977, even if you take the traditional tithe into account. Huh? 75. I was if that was a tithe, then they would have made 750 for the year. And I think Southern Baptist is a little more prosperous than that across the board. So give by faith. Give out of God's resources. Don't, you know, just give like, I can afford this, you know, I got these bills, you know. And don't go figuring it out, you know. Ask God what to give and give it. And now you do have to have some sense, you know. And God's not going to tell you to, if you've got, you do not shirk responsibilities. You don't have to shirk responsibility to your family and things like that to give. That's what the Jews were doing. And God says has other, you know, instructions to give to your family, support your family, things like that. You know, you can't overlook that, but give by faith. And then the fourth way we're instructed to give is eagerly and cheerfully. That back again, that 2 Corinthians 9:7, it says, each man should give as he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And that word cheerful in the Greek is where we get our word hilarious. And, you know, just give hilariously. And just, you know, just laugh. And if you've ever heard a tape, if you ever get a hold of a tape by Jack Taylor on giving, I mean, it is so funny because he talks about this being a hilarious giver. And, you know, he paints a story of a guy waiting for the offering plate. His favorite part of the service is when they pass the offering because he's a hilarious giver. And he just can't wait for it to get to him, you know. And he reaches back in his back pocket and he pulls it out and he's just laughing, slaps it on there. You know, it's just a high point. And that's the way we ought to be. You know, be excited about giving. And because you know the benefits that you're going to reap from it and those that you give to are going to reap from it. And be eager and cheerful in your giving. Now, why should we give? What should be our motive in giving? And one is obviously love. It ought to be the basic motivation of all of our life to be generous because God loves us. We love Him and He wants us to love our neighbor. And then we ought to give because we're commanded to, just out of obedience. Luke 6:38 has a one-word command, give. You know, can't get much more specific than that. We're commanded to, and we ought to give out of love. Okay, what are the results of giving? And you remember, how many of you were there at the retreat this last fall when Russ Johnson was there? You know, he got into some of the benefits that you get from being generous to others. And, I mean, it is so exciting. One of the benefits that you get from giving is that it's like somebody put it this way. You can't take it with you, but you can send it on ahead. You know, you send treasure ahead. 1 Timothy 6:18-19. Just trust me, look it up. It says that you can send treasure ahead. Second result of giving is that it encourages praise to God. You know, I think praise to God is much more important to Him than we know. He loves the praise of His people. And in 2 Corinthians 9:11-13, it talks about how Paul talks about to those churches. He says, your giving is going to result in praise to God from His people. And that is a real benefit, I think, that God can derive from giving. A third result of giving is it encourages unity among the believers. Encourages unity among believers. That is this. If you have a need, at this time I have plenty, I give to you. Another time you might have plenty and I might have a need and you give to me. That encourages unity. The body of Christ, the local body there. This is one thing Tom has done in our local body. You know, he has encouraged people, if they have a need, to express that need. Physical need, whatever. And other people in the body are able to meet that need. And it really has brought us together closer there in that local body. 2 Corinthians 9:14. Well, 8:14 says, at the present time, your plenty will supply what they need, so that in turn, their plenty will supply what you need. So, you know, that's the idea. You know, we don't have the same amount all the time. Sometimes you're going to be in need, and I might have plenty I can give to you. So we give back and forth. And then a fourth result of giving is that you receive. Luke 6:38, give, and it will be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put in your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get. You will receive. And that is pointed out time after time after time throughout Scripture. Proverbs 3:9-10. It says, honor the Lord with your substance and the first fruit of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. Anybody got any vats? So, yeah, in other words, he says, you give, you honor God with what he gives you at the first, and, you know, he will give back to you multiplied times again. Proverbs 11:24-25. One man gives freely, it gains even more. Another withholds unduly. Here's the stingy man. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. A generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. And, you know, time and time again, Malachi 3:10, you know, says, you know, prove me and see if I will not open the doors of heaven and shower you with gifts so that you will not be able to receive it. And I think it's just amazing. You know, the promise, I mean, those promises there are simply nothing short of amazing. You know, and if you really believe that that God's promises are true and he fulfills his promises, then we ought to be beating each other to the offering plate every Sunday, you know, trying to see who can outgive the other. No, maybe not. But, you know, I do believe that I have seen in my own life that God fulfills his promises there. If you are generous in your giving, God's going to get back to you. Now, he doesn't give it back to you just for you to, you know, spend on yourself, but to keep passing it on and give. And you all remember the story of George Mueller. You know, there was a guy that just depended solely on God. He was over in England last year, Bristol, England. Saw a need among orphans there. He said, I want to help those orphans. He gathered orphans together, built some orphanages, and supported them only through the prayers. The only one that ever knew the needs was God and the staff there. And they would never tell. They had a policy, never tell anybody outside the orphanage their needs. Time and time again, God proved faithful. And another thing, not only were they able to feed those orphans, but he was able to support hundreds of missionaries around the world. He gave millions of dollars, even back in the 1800s, before inflation, around the world to support the work of the Lord. And it was just a channel through him. And when he came to the end of his life, all he had of his own was a little coin purse with a few coins in it. And that's all he had. But yet he would have been a supplier for many's needs. So, you know, the name of the game is give, and it'll be given to you so you can pass it on again. Be generous with your money. So, you know, do you want to be generous? Do you want to be a godly man, a godly woman? Then you can't be without being a generous person. If you've got a hold on your pocketbook, and you've got a hold on the things that God has given to you, then there's no way that God's going to entrust you with deeper riches in his word. You know, Luke 16:10 says, he is faithful in very little, is faithful also in much. And it goes on down, it's talking about money there. Money is a... God uses it as a measuring stick for your spirituality, your spiritual maturity. And if you're not faithful with that, you're not faithful with the things he's given you in generosity, being generous, then he will not entrust to you the true riches. He will not entrust to you other people's lives. He will not entrust to you the depths from his word. And I just, you know, encourage all of you this summer with your money. Some of you will be making some money this summer. You know, be generous with that. Ask God now what he wants you to give. And some of you, there may be a time that God says to you, I want you to sell all you have, give to the poor, and just follow me. Other times, He may want you to just give a smaller amount. And usually that's not the case. He usually doesn't ask, you know, you to give, sell, literally sell all you have and give to the poor. There's a guy in Oklahoma City that's done that, I don't know how many times, John Crawford, he's done that several times, 3 or 4 times. He just sold everything and then gave it away and started all over again. And, you know, it's so much more exciting to live by faith than it is by sight, because God is the supplier. Our Heavenly Father is wealthy. And I know some people are going to have an opportunity to do that very shortly. But God wants us to be in a position where we can trust Him, Him alone, to meet our needs, so that it can be a testimony to others, and that when we give and we're generous with that, it can amount to all these benefits that we've seen. I wonder if you have any questions about generosity. Or about, I talked too fast or something.
Where would you say it's the balance between Mueller's idea of not expressing your need and Thomas's practice of making needs known publicly?
Well, I think that George Mueller, it was just that he wasn't living by some scriptural injunction to do that. It was, I think that God just said, okay, others may tell their needs, but I don't want you to. And that he set out to prove, one of his goals in life was to prove that a man can live by faith alone in God. And he wanted his whole life to be a testimony to that. So I think, you know, it was just a special arrangement between him and God. Now, he may do that to other people, but I don't think that's a general thing that we can say all Christians ought to be like George Mueller in that way and not share their needs. Because Paul shared needs. You know, he shared the needs of the Christians there in Jerusalem and Judea. And other times we see in Scripture people sharing needs with one another. And so it's not against God's law to do that, but it's just you know, God may tell you at times, don't share your need with someone else.
Can you quote a scripture in English reference for it under possessions about the wife is not found in possessions? What is that?
I don't know. Does anybody know?
Well, what's the verse?
It's your wife is not in possessions.
Your life does not consist in the abundant abundance of possessions. I don't know. It's in the Bible somewhere. You can find it. Look it up in your concordance. Luke 12:15. Okay, there you go. I told you it's in the Bible. Okay. What else? Any other questions? This is, yeah.
This really is making a contact. I'm just really curious as what people found to be a great human. Even the things that get listed on the board.
A hindrance?
Yeah, I think sometimes, for me anyway, if I know why I'm uncomfortable doing it and what's in my road, it's easier for me to get rid of that word and then spend some time for it.
Well, I think one of the things, and some of you other some others might have some other ideas. One of the things is where you put your security. Is it in these things, or is it in God? And if your security is in money or in possessions or your time or whatever, then you can't be generous with it, because you gotta hold on to it for your own security. And so where do you drive your security from? You know, it's not from man or things. It's got to be from God. Any other ideas on that? What hinders you from being generous?
Selfish desires. And
sure. That's right. Just being a selfishness. You know, that is just, you know, our nature to be selfish. It is mine. I want to, you know, I do want to just hoard for myself. And me and, you know, us four and no more. And but that goes exact opposite of the way God is.
What do we do about, like, parents?
No. What do you do about them?
Yeah,
give to them. Give them. You mean as far as giving?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, like, okay, you say the parents will watch over your finances.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, there's a couple of ways you can handle that. Just, you know, go up to him and ask him if you can give a certain portion of this. You know, it's there. You know, it's theirs. But you know, can I give to this need out of what you've given me? Another way is just to ask God. God, what do you want me to give? And if He gives you a figure, then you know, look for Him to supply that in some way. You know, He may want you to work for it. He may want to provide that money for use through another direction. You know, your parents aren't your sole means of support. You know, God is.
Well, what if the money's already there? But it's compared between you and the money or whatever. You know,
well, I'd sure get permission from them before you gave their money away.
No,
see, that's
well,
that's their money.
It's not the same thing.
See, like, it's my money, but my dad has fixed if I give more than just a little bit. I mean, it is my money. I made it,
mm-hmm.
But I said once I wanted to give two or three things, and he just about lost it because I was giving it to church. What? I need to do all this other stuff, and so I just sort of shut up and I'm taking it out of my paycheck myself. But
well, we had a guy named John, and the same thing. You know, man, he didn't want him to give anything. And so he just did what, you know, he asked God what he wanted to give, and he prayed, and it came from other sources. And so leave their money alone. You know, even though they say it's yours, but actually it come out of their hand. And if they say, if they get upset about it, you know, then watch out. Now, there's a verse. Says that, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound to every good work. And you will be made rich in every way, so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. You know, God can make you generous. I mean, prosperous, so that you can give in other ways than that. If you just, you know, ask Him for it. I really do believe that. Yeah. It may not be as much as you'd like to, but He's in control.
Do you get no clear indication of what I'm supposed to give? Do you then not give, or do you give a little bit and find something else to give to if that's, you know, that's not what God wants you to give to? How can you,
okay, yeah. You don't have to give every need that comes along.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I get gobs of, you know, mail, junk mail, third class mail. You know, they have a picture of some baby, some foreign land, you know, give to this project, or give to Bibles to Russia, or this or that. You know, we're always getting things. And you do have to cull through all this stuff. And a lot of times God just doesn't give you anything. So, and I don't give. And I don't give unless I know that who or what I'm giving to is responsible. You know, they use that money well. And then also, like to my church, I don't ask every week what to give. I know basically what my salary is. And so we sit down and just, we kind of determine. And many times, you know, it's just an act of my mind trusting that I'm walking by faith as to what I give. You know, many times it's not some bolt of lightning. I just decide, well, this is, I have peace about this. That's what I'll give. Well, God bless you this summer. Be generous, and really, if you're back here next year and you need some help or anything, man, call on your brothers and sisters over in Ames, and we'll come running.